All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. All right. So, will you guys open your Bibles with me? We're going to be in Matthew tonight. You guys get Bibles? You guys want a Bible? You don't want a Bible? If you want a Bible, there's one up there. Otherwise, you can look at the screen or use your phone. All right. Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to look tonight, okay? Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. You guys there? You find it? You guys don't want to look or do anything like that? Just chill? Like, I mean, you know, you're welcome to. Okay, good. Yeah. Can you guys just look at me for a second and smile? All right, I just want to make sure you're like awake. All right, cool. This is good. You're awake. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. We're going to read it together. Ready? It says, "As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him." We're talking about Jesus here, right? It says, "And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, 'Never was anything like this seen in Israel.' But the Pharisees," I remember those guys, "said, 'He cast out demons by the prince of demons.' And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless." We're having some technical difficulties tonight here. "Like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Any of you guys ever heard that verse before, like that last verse there? About like, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ever been in like a missions conference or something like that, and that was like the verse they've used? How many of you guys have heard that verse before? A couple of you? All right, that's what we're going to look at tonight. And before we get there, I want us to notice one thing, but I'm going to show it to you through a video real quick. Can you guys show that video? Anybody have that happen to him in Halloween this year? Yeah, right. No, it didn't. I love that video because I've seen it like a bunch of them. If you ever watch America's Home Videos or Funniest Videos, there's this one dude who was like hiding in the bottom of a trash can, and the trash can was like full of candy. So every time kids would come up, they'd like reach in to get it. He'd pop out and they'd be like, ah. It's a good one. Yeah, you guys could try that next year. But the thing I saw up here is that like there were some kids that walked up, and did you notice that they weren't scared? Like, there was a group of kids, and, like, the little kids were just like, so? Like, they didn't even jump, but then, like, the older kids were all like, ah, like, screaming off. And the big dude, obviously, at the end, he definitely was scared because he, like, knocked the dude out, straight out cold. Why do you think there's a difference? How come some people responded and were like, yeah? And then other people were, like, ready to fight and they were swinging. What do you guys think? They don't know fear yet? They didn't fear it? Okay. They were scared. Okay. All right. How about when they do that, do you think maybe they don't know that it's real? Like, if I were to tell you right now, let's say you drove a red Ferrari to Firehouse tonight, okay? How many of you guys would want to do that? Like, I want a red Ferrari. Let's say you could drive, you had a red Ferrari, you parked it outside, and Ferrari, and I was like, hey, I just got news that somebody's out there breaking your windows and popping your tires. How many of you guys would be like, what? And like run out the door. Yeah, right? If you believed me, you'd do that, but if you're like, Rob, you're just messing with me. You just sit there and like laugh at me like, you're full of it, right? The difference is that you believed it. So this big dude, is as strong as he was with those huge muscles, like, did you see? That was a big dude walking in, man. I was scared of him. He's walking in the front door, like, thinking everybody would be scared of that guy. He ain't going to be scared of some little scarecrow. But the dude was like, bam! You know why? Because he believed the trick for a minute. There was a moment in his heart where he believed that was real, and the fear actually grasped him and caused him to respond. But the people who didn't believe it were like, that's just a trick. It's all fake. They were just like, yeah, big deal. They didn't react. There was no response. And as we're looking at the passage tonight, we're seeing something here about responding. It's kind of like in that moment, it's like a defining moment for you. It really kind of shows what's on the inside. Like, nobody knew that guy was going to just be like, bam, and scream like a little girl. I never expected that dude to scream like a girl. All right, when I look at him, big football player guy, I'd be like, nah, you're too tough for that. But in that defining moment where we could, like, see clearly who he was, he's screaming like a three-year-old girl. And so in this passage, all of a sudden, Jesus is walking, and he's, like, doing these things in front of people, and it causes a defining moment for them. A moment where we were able to kind of, like, see in their heart and see what's really there. Because when you're in front of a moment like that, you'll either respond because you believe it, or you won't because you don't believe it. And so let's look real quick at what's happening here in the passage. It says in verse 32, as they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute. All right, first of all, right there, the very first sentence, I probably lost most of us in the room. You guys aren't even like listening to that because you're like, you're talking about demon-oppressed people, like demons and spirits and all this craziness. Like, that's hard for me to believe right there, Rob. You lost me in the first verse. And I was watching the news, it was probably about 2 weeks ago now, and there was this lady who was on a train, and I guess she had, like, beat up some of the other passengers. It was, like, assaulting the passengers on the train. And this was, like, a straight-up regular news channel. And the little line at the bottom that told what was happening was, like, demon-possessed woman attacks passengers. And I'm like, this is like Fox News or something like that. This wasn't like a Christian station or whatever. This was like straight up legit news channel talking about this woman's being like demon possessed. And so for a second, I was like, yeah, right. And I laughed at it. And I was like, wait a minute. When I read scripture and it talks about these spiritual things, do I have the same response? Am I like, yeah, right. I don't believe that. Or do I really believe that there's spiritual warfare going on all around me? That there really is a God that has created us and loves us that we can't see with our eyes, but he's there everywhere. That there really are spiritual forces and demons and things going on. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe, so we can't even get past this first part. Like, man, I don't even believe that. But it says here, there was a demon that was oppressing a man, and he came to Jesus. And all of a sudden, when he gets brought there, look what Jesus does in verse 33. And when the demon had been cast out, Jesus did what Jesus is good at. You see, all throughout this book, we've talked about Matthew before, all throughout this book, Matthew is teaching us that Jesus is basically the bomb. Like, he's the man. Jesus has all the authority of the entire universe. What he says goes. So Jesus goes around and he starts like taking like fish and bread and like multiplying it so like 4,000 people can like eat this food out of like a couple loaves and like a fish. It's like, what? How'd you do that, Jesus? And he's out on this little boat, and there's storms and crazy, like, water coming over the side of the boat, and Jesus gets up, he's like, hey, be quiet. Totally flat. Rain stops. There's demons that come up like this story, and they're like, see Jesus, and they're like, tremble and scream out in fear and fall on their face before Jesus. They're like, you're the Son of God! Jesus is teaching older people that have taught the Bible, like, all their life in these synagogues, and they're hearing Jesus teach, and they're going, who is this guy? He doesn't teach like us. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about in a different way. And so Jesus, no matter what he does or where he goes, people are like, whoa, who is he? This guy is, like, he has the authority. This guy just moves and walks and breathes and things happen. And here's an illustration of this demon-possessed guy comes up to Jesus and boom. He shows his authority. He's like, there's no demon powerful enough to stand against me. And he casts this demon out. The next sentence, I want you guys to check this out. Right after Jesus does that, look at what these people say. Because these people have known this demon-possessed guy for a long time. He grew up in their village. I don't know his real name, but let's call him Joe, okay? That's Joe from down the road. That's a crazy dude. We don't talk to him. He's demon-possessed. He picks his nose and flicks it at you, and he does all this craziness, and he, like, runs around like a dog, and he, like, does weird stuff, and he's violent, and, like, we don't go near Joe. We've known him for a long time. People know, don't talk to Joe. And all of a sudden, some people are like, well, I believe Jesus can do something about it. Let's bring Joe to Jesus. And so they're coming up to Jesus going, can you do something? And he heals him. And all of these people who just got finished saying, I know Joe, don't talk to him, go, what? He's really healed. Joe couldn't talk. Joe is demon-possessed, and all of a sudden I hear Joe talking. I wonder what he said. A guy who couldn't speak because he was demon-possessed. What were the first words that came out of his mouth when Jesus healed him? Like, I just wonder what those words were. Was he praising Jesus? Was he thanking him? Like, I don't know what he would say. But the people saw. And the people heard. And look at their reaction. It says, and the crowds marveled. There was some ooing and awing going on. They're like, whoa, what? They couldn't believe what they had just seen with their own eyes. And all of a sudden, very quickly, as this whole crowd is just staring on in like disbelief, like, can he actually do that? Two crowds form. You ready? The first crowd, it says, said this, saying, never was anything like this seen in Israel. The first crowd believed. They were like, we've never seen this before. We grew up in an Israel that told us to follow rules and obey laws, and we had tradition and ceremonies and all these things, and they used guilt and shame. And I've never seen power like that. I've never seen authority. I've never seen a priest come along and cast out a demon or some rabbi come do this. I've never seen power like this. Because they worship the law. They worship just the things around them that they could see and obey. But Jesus didn't come just for that. Jesus came to give them life, to breathe life into them and say, I save you. And all of a sudden they're looking at it going, whoa, I've never seen anything like this. But then there's another crowd. Check it out, because the next crowd is the Pharisees. And we've like talked a lot about Pharisees. Pharisees were always following Jesus along, right? And look at what it says in verse 34. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. Jesus isn't like the Son of God. Don't worry. We know how he does this. We've figured this thing out. Have you ever seen a magic show before? Anybody? Right? What do you do the whole time you're watching the magic show? Trying to figure it out. You're like, I know how you did that. You get a fake thumb and you pulled it out. Or like you're trying to like figure out all the little tricks he's using and you're watching his hands the whole time. The Pharisees are doing that. They're sitting there like, I got you figured out, Jesus. You're Houdini. You're doing this because you worship Satan. That's what they accuse him of. You worship Satan. And because you worship Satan, and you're like this witch doctor, you're able to do this, but it's a trick. This whole thing was a huge trick. And so they're listening to, this demon's listening to you because you're speaking the authority of demons. You're evil. Wow, look how fast two very opposite crowds formed. One crowd that said, we've never seen power and life like this before. We've never experienced this. This is so different. And then another crowd that said, it must be Satan. Jesus, you must be fake. And you know the difference between the two? Is one group believed. And no different from walking up to a crazy trick-or-treat trick where you punch somebody in the face because you really believe it. It's the same concept. If your heart believes it, you respond. And if it doesn't, then you don't. And so this crowd was faced with a very powerful thing. Christ does this awesome miracle, and they can't help but face a defining moment in their life where they're like, I'm either going to be like, Jesus, you're God. Like, you have to be, because look at what you did. Or I'm going to be the guy on this side that says, get out of my face, Jesus. I don't want any of that. Who are you tonight? What side of the crowd would you be standing on if you were there watching as Jesus reached out? He put his hand on this poor, demon-stricken man. Couldn't utter a word. And he says, be healed. And with your own eyes, you sit there and you watch. And you hear the words come out of this guy's mouth. And you see him healed. Where would you be standing? How would you respond? Because as we just because we sit in a church tonight, or maybe you go to a church on Sunday morning, maybe mom and dad believe in Jesus, that doesn't mean you believe. That doesn't make it your faith. to each of us have this time where we will face a defining moment in our lives, where Jesus reaches out to you and he tells you how much he loves you. And as you face Jesus, who's like, hey, knocking on your heart, let me in. You have to make a choice. Do you believe or don't you? And some of us are quick to go, man, I heard some pastor and he told these stories about orphans and it made me like feel really emotional and I raised my hand and I did this thing, but my life never changed after that. There was nothing different. I didn't believe anything different. There was nothing different in my heart. I didn't start a cool story. Rob, how come I'm not different? Like, I raised my hand. I went to the back and talked to somebody. Did you really believe? Was there a real belief in that defining moment that said, Jesus, I'm following you. Like, you're the real deal. This isn't about a story or some emotion or some prayer I prayed. This is because my heart believes that you are God. And in that moment, it defines who you are. It'll define if you're a follower of Jesus or if you've just been faking it for a while. And tonight, I want to ask you guys, do you believe? Has Jesus been knocking on your heart? Has he been showing you how much he loves you? Because I can sure tell you, you've been hearing it. If you come to Firehouse, you're hearing it. What are you doing with it? How are you responding? As you guys break up and you go to your groups tonight, I want you to get serious with each other. I don't know what you usually do in your groups. I don't go listen in and peek. But will you do me a favor tonight? When you get there, will you just dig right into this? Can you skip over all the other stuff and just go, let's get serious about this? Because if we leave here tonight and we don't know if we believe or not, where are you going to be? If you're like, I'm too scared, like, I don't know what I would say. Pull your leader aside. They are here because they love you and because they want to talk to you about this stuff. So don't be embarrassed. Say, like, I need to talk to you alone. I'm too shy to say this in front of everybody. But I'm not sure if I believe. Will you talk to me and pray with me? Because some of you guys I know really well, and I love you with all my heart. And I'll tell you what, I know you've been struggling with this. I watch you and I pray for you every day, and I say, God, get their heart. You've been struggling with this thing of, do I actually believe this? And I just wonder if tonight the Holy Spirit's going, okay, here's another chance. I'm knocking. Will you really respond and believe? All right? Will you pray with me, and then I'll let you guys go to your group. Father God, we love you. Lord, I love you. God, you are the King of the universe, and Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I will boldly say that in front of anybody. God, I believe it with my whole heart. Lord, my heart breaks for those who don't know you. God, if there's some kids here tonight that don't know you, they haven't had that moment where it defined them, where they could really say, I believe this, and I'm going to do something about it. God, I pray that tonight be the night. Jesus, that as they get in their groups and they dig into your word and talk to their leaders, that you give them the boldness to say, I need to give my heart to Christ. And Father, for the believers that are here tonight, maybe they're not living for you, remind them of how powerful this gospel is, how much you've done for them. You died to forgive them of their sin. And God, with your Holy Spirit, give us the power to be vocal about it. Jesus, to tell our friends and our family that we believe. Make a difference in our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.